For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
And welcome. So for new folks, I'm Taigen Layton. We have several new people, or these people I haven't met, in the Zendo this morning, which is auspicious for us and really lucky for you. This is a cool sangha. So you're in the right place. So this is my final talk as guiding Dharma teacher of Ancient Dragon's Zen Gate. So I want today to celebrate Ancient Dragon and a little bit about how I got here. And it's great to see everybody, lots of people online. Okay, I spent 30 years based in the San Francisco Bay Area with practice at San Francisco Zen Center, including 3 years at Tassajara Monastery. And more than 2 years in the middle of that, living in Kyoto, translating Dogen with Shomaku Okumura. From maybe the middle or late 90s on, I did guest teaching at, I think, 30 different Zen places in the lower 48. And especially in Richmond, Virginia for several years. And Reverend Eden Heffernan from Richmond Zen is here. So hi, Ed. I actually considered relocating to Richmond, but somehow I ended up in Chicago instead. So I was thinking about relocating somewhere outside the Bay Area, because there were Zen teachers like on every street corner in the Bay Area. And, well, maybe not quite, but there were plenty of Zen teachers there. And my group teacher, Tenshin Rev Anderson, encouraged me toward Chicago. He said, Chicago's a big city. So, for that and so very much more, I am immeasurably grateful to Rev. I'd already been coming to Chicago regularly before I relocated here, leading sittings, invited by Hogetsu and other people who are sitting here. And then they invited me to relocate here. That was before it was called Ancient Dragon Zen Gate. My Dharma brother, Tayo, who I was ordained with in Rev's first ordination group, he drove me from San Francisco to Chicago in January 2007. As I recall, there was a lot of snow on the ground when I got here. So, Ancient Dragon Zen Gate is really a wonderful sangha. Our members have included and do include hospice and chaplain workers, many psychologists, social workers, cooks and gardeners, teachers from grade school to middle school to college up to graduate school, attorneys, academic scholars, musicians, athletes, poets, and IT workers. This past session, last weekend, for the first time, we had 3 medical doctors attending. So many, many people have created this sangha. They include my formal Dharma successors, Nyozan Eric Shutt, who I see, who I believe is in Italy now. Hi, Nyozan. And also Asian Nancy Easton is here, and Douglas Floyd, very interested, is here. And I'm also very grateful to Hogetsu, who will be my successor starting next week as guiding teacher of Ancient Dragon. I priest ordained Hogetsu and Tayo for Dharma transmission. So many other very, very fine practitioners have helped create and develop Ancient Dragon. One of the great attributes of Ancient Dragon Zen Gate is that Sangha people here have many diverse experiences. So Nyozan and Douglas started with Trungpa Rinpoche. I think others have had some exposure to Tibetan Buddhism. Several people have had Korean Sangha roots. A few had Rinzai backgrounds. A few have martial arts expertise. Brian Taylor, Brian Taylor brought his experience as an Episcopal minister, and this was very helpful for me. He also had studied extensively with Choko Beck before he moved to Chicago. A number of us have had previous Zen teachers. Oh, and our board member, Ko Carol Orson, who's there, I see her online, who's going to give the talk tomorrow evening, is also, she's an experienced Zen practitioner, but also is active in the Friends meetings, Quakers. And some people at Ancient Dragon, myself included, have had some practice experience with Native American spiritual teachers, which I think is very important for American Zen now. So I almost never do this, but I actually wrote out all of this because I didn't want to miss it. We have people online from all kinds of places. Mark's from New Mexico. I can't see everybody, but of course Richmond, Virginia, and I'm going to talk about. I thought I saw Dan McKenzie here.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Hi, Dan. Anyway, all these diverse Buddhist and other spiritual backgrounds have made this a rich, deeply informed Sangha. There are some of our fine Sangha leaders who started their practice here at Ancient Dragon. So not everybody is, relocated, but... So I appreciate all these helpful influences in our Sangha and in my own practice. And I have to say, though, that I have remained deeply settled and rooted in Soto Zen teaching and practice. And I'll come back to where that started. Before I came to Chicago, around 1994, while I was living at Green Gulch, I started Mountain Source Sangha in the Bay Area, starting in Bolinas, adding sites in San Rafael and in California Street in San Francisco. All of them were housed in Episcopal churches, which was cool. Mountain Source Sangha still continues 17 years after I left. And Dale McKenzie is there somewhere to verify that. A number of teachers have led Mountain Source Sangha since I relocated. Now it's in San Anselmo and is led by Dan Gudgel, who started sitting with me at Mountain Source Sangha and is now a San Francisco Zen Center priest. So since Mountain Source Sangha has continued like that, I deeply trust that Ancient Dragon Zen Gate will as well. Along with Mountain Source Sangha, I must mention the New York Zen Center, where I started practicing before San Francisco Zen Center for 3.5 years with Reverend Kondo Nakajima, a fine Japanese Soto Zen priest, trained at Sojiji. I don't know if David Brensky is here.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Hi. So David, who started with me back in 1975, maybe he was there before me, I don't know. Anyway, We're from the New York Zen Center. And Ancient Dragon actually more resembles the New York Zen Center than it does San Francisco Zen Center. New York Zen Center was non-residential, although David lived there for a while. It was in a ground floor apartment on the Upper West Side of New York where I was living. There were two rooms with sabatons and zafus on tatami mats around the rooms. There was zazen every weekday evening. We have it online every weekday morning. There were two annual seven-day sesshins and my monthly one-day sittings. And weekly doksan from Nakajima Sensei was available. He lived with his family in an apartment upstairs. So that's where I first had zazen instruction and first heard about Dogen and was first lay ordained in 1975. So Ancient Dragon continues. I relocated to San Francisco in mid-78 and started immediately at San Francisco Zen Center. Ancient Dragon continues here, having weathered the pandemic. It had a major impact on our Sangha, and we're still, we're still sort of recovering, and COVID is still here and there, around. We lost our wonderful Irving Park Zendo, a storefront temple where we had practiced for 12 years. It was a lovely space. We were totally online for a while. Then in the attic of a Lutheran church. And now I'm very happy that we're settled here, at least for a while, at our lovely Lincoln Square Zendo. I trust that at the right time, Ancient Dragon will locate a good, somewhat larger space for a long-term Suzuki Roshi lineage temple in Chicago. Chicago deserves that. So last weekend we had a wonderful sesshin that ended our 2024 practice commitment period. We were focusing on my first book, Cultivating the Empty Field, with teachings from the 12th century Chinese Soto lineage master, Hongzhe. Very eloquent, deep teachings. And during this practice period and during the sesshin, we were practicing with the dual pivot between silence or calm and response, a mutual response on the other hand. So I'll talk about this as basic to our practice. The core of our practice is just sitting, zazen, turning the light within, facing the wall. Facing ourselves, facing our lives, with all the complications involved in this world and our lives. So sometimes we are glimpsing, sometimes we deeply commune in zazen with the source, the ultimate universal reality, the basic wholeness of our lives, which I felt even in that first zazen instruction from Nakajima Sensei. We taste that there is this universal ultimate reality, that there is some way that it's all okay, in spite of, even amid, our apparent brokenness sometimes. Brokenness we each are, and that our world is working through these days. Thank you. So everything in all space and all time is connected. This is basic Buddhist teaching, but the Buddhist understanding of this has developed and is still continuing to develop with modern environmentalism. Everything's connected. All space is connected. We're connected with things that are happening in the Mideast, things that are happening in California and New York, things that are happening in South America, and also stuff that's happening all around us in Lincoln Square, in Chicago, and in our lives. Everything in our life is connected. And, you know, we don't realize that a lot of the time. But all of this is present right here, right now, on our seats. So Zazen is a creative practice, an expressive practice. Both while sitting on our seats, but also then as we go out into our everyday activity, we are informed by this Zazen experience, these glimpses of something that goes beyond, something universal, of the ultimate source, which is the name that Rev gave me, Taiyin. So we could also say that the heart of our practice is the Bodhisattva vow and the precepts, the 16 Soto Zen precepts that we follow here. And then there's the appropriate responsiveness and responsibility that the Bodhisattva vows and the precepts encourage. We have this ability to respond. We have this mutual response, as Dzogchen says. Taking refuge in Buddha is communing with the ultimate reality, ever present in the background of our often complicated lives, but also our creative, sometimes playful expression in response to the suffering of the world around us is invoked by the Bodhisattva vows and the precepts. We sit Zazen settling into our body-mind, expressing Buddha on our seats. We have a Buddha in the front of our Zendo, and we sit, you know, somehow like Buddha. And we find this awakened one in us sometimes. During Sesshin, it's along with many other things, that becomes more available. So we commune with this universal reality. It's always present on our seats, along with all the beings who we've ever met or will meet, people we've forgotten, but are part of what we is sitting on our seat. So our Bodhisattva precepts are about benefiting all being, supporting life, not killing. So how do we benefit all beings? The precepts in the Bodhisattva vows seem somehow, they're sometimes referred to as inconceivable. We can't conceptualize what that is, how that is. And yet, here we are, sitting in the middle of it. The precepts are also about Sangha. Sangha in the widest sense. Supporting our particular community, Ancient Dragon Zenge here, and people who are visiting online for the first time, you're welcome to check in anytime. But Sangha also refers to all the communities that we each explore and interact with. So each of us has various communities that we're related to and part of. Our precepts are about how do we take care of all of them, and how do we let them take care of us? It's mutual response. How do we support life and vitality? First precept of the 10 great precepts. How do we support others not to kill? How do we see not killing as our reality? So Sangha is not about hiding from the world. You know, there's a phase of practice where we do put aside our involvements in the world and come and sit and face the wall. And, you know, I, having practiced for a few years at Tassajara and at Green Gulch and San Francisco Zen Center and a practice period in Japan, I much respect residential practice. And many people from Ancient Dragon Zenge have gone to Green Gulch or Tassajara to get some taste of that with my encouragement. But when I moved to Chicago, I didn't want to have a center like that. I appreciate our non-residential Sangha very much. So here we are in this big city, Chicago, and each of you goes out and expresses yourself, and somehow Zazen experience is part of that in all the different kinds of good works that you're all doing. And the difficulties also. This practice is not easy. It's, in a way, it's very simple. Just sit down, face the wall, face ourselves. Couldn't be simpler. And actually, there are, you know, we have this great lineage going back to Shakyamuni Buddha 2,500 years ago, and to Bodhidharma, and Dongshan in the 800s, and Hongzhen in the 1100s, and Dogen in the 1200s, and Suki Roshi came to California in the 1960s. what a wild, perfect time for him to show up. But, you know, I appreciate that Sangha has interacted with the world in lots of ways. And as I mentioned before, many people at Ancient Dragon Zenge are very involved in all kinds of good things. And trying, you know, this world is difficult. How do we take care of, I see Ruben. I didn't mention librarians. We have a librarian too. And books are, I like books, actually. I don't think we should ban them. Healthy sanghas must be willing to face and not ignore the conditions of our world. I think it's healthy for sanghas to sometimes discuss the difficulties in our world, not become insular and insulated and hide on our zazen seats in our sangha communities. So this interactivity with the world is, I think, basic to bodhisattva practice. Bodhisattva vow is to consider all the suffering in the world, including oppression, racism, militarism and wars, and these wars, genocides, and the threats of fascism in our world now. We don't ignore that. Our great ancestor, Baijiang, I guess technically he's in their inside lineage, but we're all in it together. It was before their inside lineage, but anyway. Baijiang met a fox, and he taught us that not to ignore, not to be blind to cause and effect, the causes and conditions of our world. So, sanghas can support a healthy environment and work to address climate breakdown. There's all kinds of ways to do that. We pay attention. So Zazen is a practice of paying attention, gently, sitting, just sitting. But we notice the wall, we notice the sounds around us. I hear a jet flying overhead, headed to O'Hare Airport, maybe from O'Hare. Anyway, all the sounds of the world, all the sounds of suffering in the world, we are open to and we respond when we see some way to respond, to be helpful. And this is tricky because, you know, we can make mistakes. We do make mistakes. But we also have this responsibility. We have an ability to respond. So we sit and we go through our life paying attention. And over here, overhead of our sangha, there was just a thunderclap. So yes, attention. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Maybe most of the time we don't know what to do when we see problems in our lives or for our friends and family and neighbors or in our world. But if we keep paying attention, at some point we might get some idea, some inspiration, something we might do that might be helpful. So we respond. And we can, you know, join with others who are doing things that we think are helpful, help other groups, nonprofits, whatever, environmental groups, whatever. So we respond. So obviously, we do not practice just for ourselves. Zen is not some self-help practice. Though, of course, we are each supported and benefited by doing this practice, by engaging the Bodhisattva vows and precepts and Zazen. So the Bodhisattva vow, I vow to free all beings. What does that mean? I mean, gee. If you try and figure it out through linear Western logic, it doesn't make sense. How can I free everyone? Well, I want to. And that's kind of the point. We direct ourselves and our energy and our activities and our work and play towards, oh, how to be helpful to people and beings, all beings in the world. How do we appreciate, you know, here in the Goenka Spirit Zendo, we have a great lady just down the road. And actually, I see Nathan is in Michigan. He's on the other side of that, I think. And, yeah, so, how do we take care of our world? So I want to conclude by talking about the future. And personally, I'm looking forward to my next chapter, things I want to do that I haven't been able to do while being guiding teacher, or I felt I didn't have time to do while being guiding teacher in Ancient Dragons. Because Ancient Dragon is wonderful, and giving myself to it. But we practice for all people, all the people we know, and those we don't know, as I said, all around the world, throughout space. So last weekend at our session, we did a meditation on space, inspired by one of Hongzhi's writings, seeing the space of our neighborhood and our city and country and the space between our shoulders and the space between our heads. It's all space. Emptiness is one and one is emptiness, I think. But also, we practice for all beings in all time. And we practice for all the beings, all the people in the future. So I very much care about Ancient Dragon Zen Guide, Zen Gate, thriving into the future. And I believe it will. Trust that it will. I want to recommend a recent PBS television show called, I've mentioned it before here, A Brief History of the Future. Really recommend it. There's 6 episodes. Very inspiring. Probably you can find it somewhere on PBS. Talk with people talking about, wonderful people talking about all the things they're doing towards healing the world and towards a brighter, more cooperative, kinder future, where we overcome all of the difficulties. Not all the difficulties, but where we overcome some of the difficulties that we face now as a species, as a world. And I was first inspired to focus on beings of the future by Joanna Macy, my friend and one of my mentors. She started doing workshops to meet beings of the future and consider how we take care of them. And also how they're watching us. They're looking back at us from the future. How are you taking care of this world for us? How do we think of the, as I've said before, the people walking by this building where we are now in 50 years, or 200 years, or 500 years, and wherever you are, how will they be able to find Bodhisattva practice and Zazen? So our Zen Buddhist practice is deeply involved with wide reaches of time, with the ancestors who I've mentioned, going back for millennia, from Shakyamuni Buddha 2,500 years ago, Dongshan in the 800s, again, Hongshan in the 1100s, Dogen, Suki Roshi. Hongzhi says that one consideration of the 10,000 years allows us to go beyond all these present appearances and hang-ups. How do we be mindful of beings in the future? Of course, beings in the past too. So maybe we are the ancestors of the future, but also I would say that we have ancestors in the future. So after working with Joanna Macy on her nuclear guardianship project for a while, working to protect future beings from all of our nuclear waste and warn them, I substituted for Joanna at a conference in Kyoto in 1994 on future generations. And there I wrote an article for my talk there, based on my talk there, called Meeting Our Ancestors of the Future. So it's not how we usually think. We usually think time works past, present, future. But as Dogen says in his wonderful Being Time essay and elsewhere, you know, all time is actually right here. So that article I wrote, Meeting Our Ancestors of the Future, is still available on the Ancient Dragons Endgame website, and it's in my book, Zen Questions. It's one of the chapters. So we are practicing for beings in all space. We are practicing for beings in all time. Ancient Dragons Endgame will continue into the future and continue practicing for beings around Chicago and beyond, thanks to our hybrid Zoom. So maybe I've said all I need to say in my final Dharma talk as guiding teacher. I dedicate this talk and my work at Ancient Dragon to our ancestors in the future. So we have a little bit of time if there's a couple people who want to ask questions or respond or express whatever. Make the thunder overhead. So online, if you have something to say, you can raise your hand or use the, there's a raise hand function at the bottom of the Zoom. And Bo will call on you, or if anybody wants to raise your hand, or, you know, if you want to say anything.
Kathy and then Neozan.
And Kathy was one of the very early members of Ancient Dragons Endgame.
It's difficult to talk because it's an emotional moment. I would be there today, except I've got a sore throat. But I just want to say, you know, remembering back when you came to Chicago, Taigen, it's like the group already had so many people were strong-minded and had so many opinions about which direction and how things should go that I don't think it was simple walking into that and trying to be a sensitive leader. So my hat's off to you that you provided leadership and kind of corralled gradually a lot of disparate opinions about things into a gradual way of moving forward. And I have found this practice over time, even though I haven't been regular at all times, I have found it extremely useful in my life. And so I am appreciative of you coming here and leadership.
I think when I first got here, I stayed with Kathy. Actually, I rotated between a few people before I relocated. But when I first relocated that day, I stayed with you, Kathy. So thank you for being such a good host.
Neozan and then Jan. We can't hear you, Neozan.
I think you're muted, Neozan. I can't hear you. Bows back to you over there in Italy. And maybe later you can unmute and say something. But anyway, we can just take a couple more people.
Jim?
I am so encouraged by being part of this Sangha. And the changes are extremely difficult for me. But so far, I've managed most of them except using the ceremony that was taken out of Sunday and put to Monday night. And in fact, that was one of the reasons I picked coming to this Sangha. And now that I'm here, I'm staying. So, but what really strikes me about ADZG, that is not practiced in every Sangha, is the four vows. And I've always thought they were excruciatingly funny and and very, very serious. And and so, you know, you can turn them around and say, I don't bow to free all beings. I mean, how could you? You can't. Or the other thing, I'm not going to be able to pick them up right now. But what I really wanted to say about the four vows is I'm an anti-nuclear activist. And so my fifth vow is we now have an enormous amount of money and energy and we've already sullied the entire atmosphere and much of the ocean and the earth with contamination that will last for the 10,000 years is paltry because it will last for 200,000 or, and many people say 1 million and some people say 2 million. And so my vow is, I vowed to put that genie back in the bottle. And of course, my life isn't going to be that much longer, but it keeps me occupied and it reminds me of the ADZG.
So thank you, Jen. Jen is one of our ancient dragon activists. So just a little more time. If there's, does anybody in the room have anything? Questions or comments? Okay. Anybody else?
Okay.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi, I'm Mike. So I just wanted to say thank you. I've been running a for 8 or 9 years now, and but very sporadically. And so I just wanted to thank you for fostering this community. And if, for me, I think prior to coming to Chicago, I went at Zen from a more going at your own, you know, being alone in a room, meditating, and not necessarily participating in a sangha. And this really, to me, was very important. It was a model of what a sangha could be, and in the way that you talk about, you know, a cloud moving away from the moon and suddenly, oh, there it is. I think this represented, oh, that's why a sangha is important and what, why it's such a crucial pillar in practice. So thank you very much.
Who is speaking?
Mike was.
Thank you, Mike. And yeah, so maybe I didn't say enough about Sangha. Sangha is the third jewel, along with Buddha, the reality of awakening in the world, and Dharma, the teaching of that in all things, and the truth of that. The Sangha community, you know, it, I think Sanghas, well, you know, back in the 60s, people wanted to have some technique, so they found Zazen and came to Suzuki Roshi. But Sangha is what's, I think, most important in our culture, because we don't have, in our society, communities where we can talk with each other, where we can practice with each other, where we can play with each other. Maybe Jan has said it. I forgot to mention Hongzhi talking about romping and playing in samadhi. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this seems like a very somber, serious practice sometimes, but it's also as it lives, it's to be very playful. I have a somewhat longer story from Tassajara about Brother David Steinberg, which I'm tempted to tell again, but probably people here have heard it. You've heard it, Douglas, right? Oh, okay. Well, Douglas hasn't heard it. So one of the years I was living in Tassajara, on Halloween, Brother David somehow drove in. Brother David Steindl-Rast is a Benedictine monk. He's from Vienna originally, Austria. He worked for a long time at Kamadli's monastery in Big Sur, kind of around the corner, due west, but from Tassajara, but circuitous road in. Anyway, Brother David was also a Zen practitioner. He had done at least one practice period at Tassajara. He was a Benedictine monk too. He called himself a Zenedictine. And anyway, he happened to show up midday. It was Halloween, and in the Zendo, I don't think anybody else was in costume, but the Doshi, the head priest, officiating priest, was Robert Lytle, who was the father of Sarah, who has been a member of our board and is now a practicing chaplain in Cambridge, England, but heading back towards the States this summer. Anyway, so his daughter became a practitioner here. Anyway, Robert came into the Zendo as Doshi, dressed as, made up as the Frankenstein monster. I can't describe it, but it was obvious. And his jiko, carrying incense, was Brian Parks, who was a big fellow, who had put some kind of thing. He was Igor, a hunchback. He had this big. Anyway, they walked into the Zendo, and there was Brother David amongst the community. I think Robert must have been somewhat appalled, but we carried on and did this noonday service. And later at work meeting, Brother David was there, and he said, "I know you people really care about the rituals because you can play with them." So anyway, we have to play with this in our lives. We have to try things. We have to feel the play in our world. I see a couple people with hands up. Who is that?
Michael and Katie. Michael Soder and...
Oh, Michael Soder. Oh, hi. Oh, wow. From North Carolina. Oh, Katie, hi.
Hey, Tiger. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi, Michael. Great. Thank you for showing up here.
I just wanted to say it's a joy to see you and to see everyone. In the same way that you were talking about time and the past and the future, and I really just feel that same way about the time that I had to practice with you and with the Sangha. Your teaching is always close and always current, even though I'm not practicing there with you anymore. I feel like I am.
Thank you, Michael. Michael was, and Katie are wonderful people who practiced here for a long time. Now, are you in Greensboro, North Carolina?
We're in Snow Camp. We're outside of Chapel Hill.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, if you see Joe's show,
I do.
Please send her my love.
I will.
Katie, I didn't recognize you because your hair is much longer.
Yeah, I moved south and just let go of everything.
It's great to see you. Thank you for coming.
And then I think Eden Heffernan and Dale also.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
So no, we're not doing too bad on time. Eden is actually the K Kevin, as I remember him, is the head priest at Richmond Zen and connected with Chapel Hill Zen Center in Josho. So, Eden, hi.
Yeah. Good morning, Taigen. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you, Taigen, amidst all the wonderful ancient dragon people, some of whom I know, and it's great to see Nyozan, Ruben, and Douglas, who I've encountered in other places outside of Chicago. And I just wanted to say again, and I will say again in the future, thank you so much. Appreciate so much all your work, your practice, and you should know it radiates into Richmond all the time. Just this morning, I was reading from Hongzhi to people as they were sitting Zazen, and that happens frequently, and it frequently happens. Someone will come and go, what is that? Where did that come from? And another book sold. We've appreciated your being with us in the past, and you really still are with us and me particularly all the time. Really not a week goes by that I'm not dipping into something. A Dharma talk at Ancient Dragon, one of your translations, or your books and essays. So I just appreciate so much all that you're doing and have done. It's been a tremendous support for me here in Richmond. And yes, I'm connected to Chapel Hill, but I also feel connected to y'all. And lately, I've been saying, actually, connection is an understatement for our condition in this world. So thank you so much, and look forward to talking to you with you more in your current, previous, next life.
Thank you. And yes, I really did consider relocating to Richmond. It's a wonderful town and a wonderful sangha. So congratulations.
And I think Dale...
Hi, Taigen.
Hey, Dale.
It's so good to see you. You know, it's been about 55 years since I lived in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And now I live in California. And what I'm really enjoying is that wonderful thunder going on. I think that's very auspicious because it's sending you into your new stage with energy in a big bang and resonates in my belly, having been a Midwestern kid and enjoying those wonderful thunderstorms. And so this has been a true joy for me. And for you folks who don't know me, and I think probably none of you do except Taigen, we've known each other for over 25 years, and we traveled on a pilgrimage to northern China and visited many Chan Zen sites, Zhao Zhao's temple, and oh, that was a great trip, wasn't it, Taigen? Absolutely. So it's just wonderful to be here and to hear your farewell speech and all the best to you on your new journey.
Thank you, Dale. Say hi to Dr. Sur Sangha folks and to Dan and Paul. Anyway, thank you. Is there anyone else? Or is that enough? Oh, anybody else online? Anybody else in the room?
You could say something.
Oh, Asian wants to say something. She was here from the very beginning.
And I was just going to talk about that. So, yes, I was here when we used to fly you in, you know, quarterly for a seminar and a potluck dinner and a half day or all day sitting. And I remember, though, when we were talking about incorporating, talking about asking you to move to Chicago and talking about, you know, finding a space for Ancient Dragon that wasn't the Catholic retreat center that we were in. And how much risk felt like it was associated with that. And I appreciate you taking the risk of accepting our invitation to come out here and practice with us and meet us and teach us for all these years. But I remember, you know, back then we kind of talked about, like, well, you know, it's a 2-year lease or a 3-year lease or something, and we have enough cash to make it through 1 year, so we're just gonna, you know, hope that we can make it. But and the sangha has gone through, as Tiger mentioned, many reiterations, and yet we are still here, and we'll continue to be here. But as far as I know, you know, nothing is certain. And so I really appreciate everyone taking a risk and being here and continuing this, you know, ancient practice. Mm-hmm. But thank you for taking the risk.
It's been one of the great pleasures of my life. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe on that note, we can do the Bodhisattva vows, see if there's any. There probably are announcements, because it's
cardinal.
Yeah,
there's a cardinal. Season.
The last word
there. Yes. Thank you all. Thank you. Let's see.
Beings are numberless. We bow to freedom. Delusions are inexhaustible. We bow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We bow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable. We bow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We bow to free them. Illusions are inexhaustible. We bow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We bow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable. We bow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We bow to freedom. Illusions are inexhaustible. We bow to cut through them. Dharma gates are endless. We bow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable. We bow to realize it.